What's up, heretics? It's the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for budget-minded automotive enthusiasts by budget-minded automotive enthusiasts. I am Matt Overstreet.
And I am Chris Huffman.
So, Chris, this time I actually had to do some digging for some news to talk about this time around.
We've had a lot of news recently,
right?
It hasn't been difficult to find news for the last podcast, for sure.
Yeah, no, it just seemed like there was a lot of stuff going on in the enthusiast market and all that, and this time it's kind of drying up. I mean, it's kind of weird. Even at the shop, like, work is dried up in February. Like, it's been slow there.
Interesting. I guess everybody's trying to save money, getting ready for those tax refunds before they spend it again.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, February is just a slow month, but luckily that has given me a smidgen amount of time to work on projects, but we'll get to that later. Not as much time as I would like.
There's never enough time.
No, there really isn't. So I want to start off by talking more about a car we talked about last week, because we have some more details. The GR GT3 concept from Toyota that we're talking about, the race car they're developing to be a street car.
Dude, this thing is gorgeous, and I'm glad we've actually got more news on it so soon.
Right.
Because I was worried that it would drop off our radar for a while.
Yeah.
And then we'd finally hear some news about it. But I think you called it. You said it was probably going to be a Lexus.
Yeah.
And they announced that it's going to be the new RC.
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense, because actually currently Lexus is campaigning a Lexus RC F as their GT3 race car. So, but in this article I was reading, Lexus, pretty much the head engineer, came out and said, like, we're actually limited because we're basing this off of a production car, and the RC is just, it's not up to snuff as, like, you know, the Porsches and Mustangs that are also in this class.
They started from a streetable chassis and built it into a race car.
Right. And this time they're doing it right. They're starting with a race car and then building a street version.
What's funny is this is going to be much better looking for the street version.
Right. Yeah. The RC is not my favorite looking car by any means.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like a Lexus IS that they tried to make into a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah. You know, shorten it a little bit, put some bigger wheels.
Yeah, yeah. But this new one, I mean, it's long, it's got a huge hood line. Mm-hmm. I still want to know what's going to be powering it, though.
Right, because the RCF, that has that new 5-liter V8. Well, new-ish, I guess. It's been a few years now.
So I wonder if they're going to keep it with a V8, or, I mean, I know a lot of times, classically, these have been inline six cars, and I'm still holding a candle for my master motor. The two inline sixes laid flat boxer 12-cylinder engine.
I think if it's going to be based off a street car, especially a Lexus RC, which isn't a supercar,
right?
You're going a little stretch there.
Yeah, but I'm holding out hope. I want to see it.
I still think it might be powered by that BMW inline six.
That would be cool too. I mean, because there's a lot of aftermarket support, and the fifth gen Supra is putting out better numbers than they're claiming.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
It's living up to the Supra name.
You know, Toyota has access to that inline six. They should have a Lexus kind of equivalent sports car to their Toyota sports car. I don't know. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a BMW chassis, but I would actually like to see the chassis be more Toyota anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, BMW has something to say about the suspension. This thing's going to handle really well.
Right. I don't know. Maybe this partnership between them will, you know, make some really big waves and they'll stick together. And I don't know. I haven't been following. Are Toyota Supras just in the shop constantly?
You know, I haven't seen a whole lot about them. I want to see when people get these manuals in.
Yeah.
I want to see how far they're pushing them. I assume that they are leaking oil in all the same ways BMWs like to leak oil.
I would assume so.
But, you know, just knowing that going in, if you plug up those oil leaks, I don't know if there's any extra maintenance that you have to do.
I don't know. Just, I'm also curious. So I would want to know the Toyota version of that engine in the Supra, and then the BMW version in the Z3. Same engine, but What are each manufacturer saying for oil change intervals? Because BMW is up to like 15,000 mile oil change intervals.
Which is absurd.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. That oil does not last that long. I don't care.
Right, they just want you to dispose of your old BMW and buy a new one.
Well, there's that. There's also the lower cost of ownership that they can advertise.
That makes sense.
Because, you know, BMW oil change is kind of expensive. They have like 8 quarts of oil.
Yeah, it's always full synthetic.
It has to be full synthetic. So you're talking a couple $100 for each oil change.
Yeah.
At least. You know, so they're trying to save less cost of ownership. And plus, I really do wonder if there's an EPA regulation about oil changes as part of your CAFE.
Oh, that would be interesting. Because
you're still disposing of oil.
Right. Right. You know? I hadn't thought about that as an EPA regulation, which that's a shame, because if the EPA is regulating longer service intervals, then they're literally regulating engines into failure.
Yes.
Which is causing more engines to be built, which is actually worse for the environment.
Right. We've talked about this before on the show, where like environmental regulation is a good idea in concept, but as usual, the government fucks it up.
Yeah, in practice.
Yeah, they don't look big picture. We're always looking small picture.
You can't trust your elected officials to do it right.
No, you really can't. But let's not get into politics too much yet, because we're going to be touching on that later. Anyways, I do want us to know if the Toyota version, the Supra, is like 5, 6, 7,000 mile
oil
changes.
And that would make sense, because Toyota's whole thing is reliability. Right. So they want you to change your oil.
Right. So if anybody knows, or I guess I could look it up, but yeah, if you know, hit us up on social media, religionofspeed.co, of course, and let us know, because I am genuinely curious. Speaking of Toyotas, let's move on to our next little story. This is more just a thing for me and you that we need to go
yeah,
to this place.
We've got
to
do this.
Apparently, somebody in SoCal opened up an initial D-themed cafe called Fujiwara Tofu Cafe.
God, we would get along so well with this person.
Right? See, that's the great thing. You know going in, you're at a place where the people are all going to be like you, like even the owners, like, you know, you're in your place.
Yeah, and I love that they've got a yellow FD, they've got a white FC, and of course the Panda Treino just
right
next to each other, parked right out front of this. I hope they're there all the time.
I hope that's just the employees' cars.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
Right? Like, you get hired in here, you get one of these three cars.
Like, that's your company car.
Ooh, which one would I choose?
I'd have to go with the FD.
I'd have to go with the FC, actually.
I think FDs are like one of the top 10 most beautiful cars in the world.
Yeah.
I love them.
I feel you there, but I've just always loved the white FC.
They look great in that off-center hood scoop.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
It's weird that neither of us went for the Toyota, but...
You know, I had an old A86. I loved it.
Yeah.
But that FD is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You'd probably have the most fun in the Toyota, to be honest.
I don't know, because also I'd be really afraid of, like, dinging the Toyota. Like, these things are getting so expensive now, where they're almost to the point where you can't drive them.
Yeah, they're going to be $20,000 by the end of next year.
I mean, this one, like, fully restored, you know, with the Fujiwara Tofu Shop thing, I bet you that'd go for 40.
Yeah,
in the right market.
When that one's probably got, like, a silver top in it and everything. Like,
right. It's got a cage in it. You can just see the roll bars in it, too.
You know, I've wanted to wrap my BRZ like this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just wrap it in Fujiwara Tofu colors, put some amber fogs on it.
Just to fuck with people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I found out you can even get those wheels. You can get
Watanabes?
Yeah, you can get them in 5x100.
Dude, you can get Watanabes in, like, anything.
You just have to be willing to wait.
Yes, and pay the money for them.
Yeah.
Like, Watanabe actually makes, I mean... We know the drift vans,
yeah.
Noriyaru,
yeah.
You know, they make a Dodge bolt pattern. I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah, that's a super common one.
And you do kind of end up, because I believe they're cast, you end up paying a lot for a cast wheel just to kind of get that name.
Yeah,
but
true.
I mean, the bragging rights. I mean, look at that.
Right? They look so good. That's the best. I mean, don't get me wrong. Watanabes are just a copy of mini light wheels, which were originally like a British wheel put on like...
MGs
and stuff like that, and then Watanabe copied that, and then they've been copied, and everybody's copied it.
Yeah, now Rota has knockoffs of them too.
Oh yeah, different style knockoffs too. Which there's like thinner spoke or thicker spoke. Anyways, that's yeah. Just speaking of Watanabes, like if you go on their website, their Japanese website, they got like a gallery of cars with Watanabes on it, and pretty much every car looks good on it, including third gen Camaros.
Really,
third gen Camaros look great. With those.
That's the Catfish or the IROC?
IROC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because the wheels that came stock on those were not good looking.
Actually, third gen Camaros are kind of growing on me again.
Yeah.
Because like the 80s style is coming back and I'm like, you know, those were good looking cars. Like when I was a kid, I really wanted an IROC Z.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd hate that drivetrain now. Like the old LT1s, I mean, they're small block Chevys, so you can do whatever with them.
And you couldn't get the 350 with a manual. You could only get the 305.
I don't remember that, but that sounds about right, because their transmissions, I think they were just T5s, and they were like glass.
Oh, that makes sense. So the torque would just shred it if they tried to do that.
That was the old problem, ironically, with like the old Subaru SVX, when everybody else in the 90s was making their big sports cars. Subaru was like, we got one, but they didn't have a manual that could take it, so they had to put an automatic.
Only.
Yeah. But now you can swap them, because now you have STI six speeds.
You know, I had a buddy with one of those who really wanted to get that done. I don't know if he ever actually pulled it off, but the SVX body line is just gorgeous.
They are really gorgeous cars with weird ass windows.
They do have weird windows.
But even with the automatic, like I drove a couple up in Aspen. There were a couple customers we had with those.
Yeah.
And they weren't slow.
Even at that altitude, it was still fun.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't fast by any means, but I was like, okay, this is a nice little like GT car. Like if you want to go cross country,
okay,
comfortable.
So there, it's like a good cruiser.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, way better than like an FD, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We saw how much the gears and gasoline guys suffered.
Right.
especially Ben, because he had solid mounts on his K-Swap.
Yeah. Don't do solid mounts unless you're just a race car.
Yeah, I've been looking at the TF Works kit to K-swap the 240, but it's all solid.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's,
yeah, if you're
going to
daily
kind of a turn-off.
Yeah.
I just love the ability to take that on the track.
Right.
I really dig that.
I've actually been thinking about, well, I need to replace the motor mounts in the Fiesta, and I've been trying to figure out what durometer and stuff to do.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do, because the Fiesta is a modern-style front-wheel drive, so it's got two side mounts on the frame rails for your front of the engine and your transmission mount.
Okay.
And then a lower torque mount.
Okay.
And that's how they all do it these days. It's cheaper because you have less mounts. It's easier. But I think for the side mounts, I'm actually going to go pretty soft, like almost stockish or maybe like a 60A durometer.
But are you still going to keep it rubber or are you going to go polyurethane?
Probably to polyurethane.
Okay.
But like a softer polyurethane, because that's just side-to-side motion.
Yeah.
You know, or vibration.
It's not when you're really accelerating where the motor's torquing.
Right. So I think the torque mount then, I might even go solid with that.
You think?
I don't know. That Hamza had one in his Veloster way back in the day.
Okay.
And he had that thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, that thing. That's like a like bad memories for me working on that fucking Veloster. It was badass, but man, that car was never meant to do what we were trying to do with it.
Well, even Hamza, he said that. He said, you know, I bought a crappy car and I put way too much money into it.
Yeah. It was the coolest Veloster by far. But it had a solid lower mount and honestly it didn't vibrate too bad.
Well, that's okay. That's good then.
Yeah. So yeah. I think as long as your side mounts are like compliant.
Okay,
then so you're only really going to get the vibration when you get on it and it tries to rock that.
Which you're kind of prepped for it at that point anyway.
Right. So, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know why I got on that topic. Because we had a perfect transition before I started talking about other shit.
Yeah, you were talking about the Subaru SVX and yeah.
Yeah, we could have just transitioned right into talking about the WRX. More bad news out of Subaru for the new 2022 WRX. Not only is it kind of ugly, although it's not... It's growing on me.
You see, I keep seeing pictures in this press red.
Yeah, the red looks a lot better.
Right, right. So the red we know looks good.
That orange just did not work for some reason. And I'm an orange guy.
Yeah, you like orange.
Unless it's a president. Sorry, I had to.
We got political again.
I couldn't help myself.
No, that was awesome.
No, I like the red. So it's growing on me, but it's still not a great looking car.
Yeah, it's like passable now.
It's passable. It gets shitty gas mileage. And now it's going to run you up to $42,000.
And Subaru, I really want to defend the WRX. I feel like we're shitting on it every time we bring it up in the podcast. But
yeah,
it's just more and more bad news.
I mean,
first this aesthetic, these plastic overfenders, which, you know, okay, they look good with red. But what if you don't want to get speeding tickets?
Right.
Actually, that white doesn't look awful.
But it just looks really plain.
Yeah, it looks like the inner fenders are kind of bleeding into that shadow.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, the Toyotification of Subaru, I think, is very complete at this point.
Like, it does look like a Toyota.
It can be a Camry, for all we know. $42,000 for a WRX.
Which means the STI is going to be approaching 60.
I mean... It's going to be probably in the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then with markup.
Yeah. With the dealer markup.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the way things are now. I mean, $42,000 is a lot for a WRX.
It really is.
It's supposed to be a cheap, fun car.
Now, luckily, there is an entry-level WRX with the six-speed, not the CVT.
Okay.
And that starts at $28,420, which Seriously, 420?
I gotta love that.
Did they do that just for the Colorado market?
They might have done that, yeah. Though they know, I mean, that's like the official sports car of Colorado.
Right?
You see these especially at every stoplight.
Yeah, especially stoner kids.
Yep, that's true.
So, 28 420 is the only way it could be better if it was a 69 420, but that would be way too expensive.
That'll be the STI.
There you go. But yeah, if you want to put everything into it, you're going to be up to $42,000, which is just... I mean, I don't know. What even options do you get for that?
So you can get all the comfort options. Usually there's a Recaro option. And I know the last gen, you had Brembos as an option as well. Which, truthfully, I just want the Recaros and the Brembos and I can call it a day.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You want the... That's what you always want to do. You want to get the basest model you can.
Right.
With the performance mods checked off.
Right. Because that's lighter anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You've got good brakes, you've got good seats, that's all you really need.
Yeah. So this is, I guess, the 42,000, actually it's 42,890, so that's basically 43,000.
Yeah.
But that's for the GT package. So I guess just don't get the GT package, get the base model. And definitely don't get the, sorry, where did it say in this article? There it is. The Subaru Performance Transmission.
Is that what they're calling the CVT?
That is what they are calling the CVT.
The Subaru Performance Transmission. It will perform until it breaks.
Right? They're really trying to make this... they're trying to sell people on this.
Yeah, and you know, if you have kids, if you want to use the Subaru EyeSight system with your car...
True.
The CVT's okay, because the EyeSight system is... almost as close to self-driving as you can get right now.
Yeah. I mean...
But I bought a WRX because I wanted to drive it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, it just doesn't seem like there's a ton of crossover there. Like, if you're the type of person that wants all those safety features and stuff like that, you'll get a Forester.
Right, get a Forester or a Crosstrek.
Especially if you have a family, you want the hatchback anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I wouldn't mind if there was a hatchback version of this.
True. Yeah, bring back the WRX wagon or hatchback.
You know what? That's how we get around this aesthetic. Yeah. I can forgive ugliness on a hatchback.
Yeah. No, it's very true. Or a wagon. Like, yeah. if this was a wagon, they called it the Outback, and it was, you know, turbocharged and stuff like that, I'd be like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Right. But it's the fact that it's a WRX, and it's supposed to look good. Right. That's the problem.
It is funny how our brains work like that.
Yeah.
Like, just change the name, and I'd be fine with it. It's like the Mustang Mach-E. Change the name, and I love that car.
That's, yeah. We've talked so much about that on this show. That was the worst use of the Mustang name.
Right.
They could have just called it the Mach-E.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ford Mach-E. Yeah. Actually, that would have been a great name.
Yeah. It's like, the Ford Mach-E.
Yeah, you get like visions of Speed Racer in your head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, and we've talked even, I mean, they use the lightning pun.
Right.
They could have used the Thunderbird pun.
Yes, I know. Like, why didn't they bring that back as the Thunderbird?
Right. I don't
they
get
have
it.
To have... something else in the plans, because that is such a good name.
Yeah,
that if nobody there thought about that, I would be shocked.
Yeah, there's a whole boardroom of people. Nobody pitched that idea.
Right?
They're like, we're gonna call this five door crossover a Mustang.
Yeah.
While we're still making the Mustang sports car.
I mean, the Thunderbird was always kind of the more like GT car.
Yeah.
Of the two, so maybe it'll come back eventually. I'd love to see it. Ford, do it up.
Do it.
All right.
Use that pun.
All right, we have to get on to. Actually, you know what? We're talking about electric, so we're gonna stave off politics for one more second.
One more segment.
Talk about some more electric shit. But this is where I'm actually excited for electric stuff, and I think it would fit perfectly. Is electric trucks. We've talked about that. The Lightning.
Yes.
I like this. The only thing I don't like about them is when you're towing.
Yeah.
You get a lot of range reduction. They're not really meant for that right now. Even the Rivian. You know, it gets hit pretty good.
Yeah.
But U.S. company Magna, which you might know from like Magna Steer, they do a lot of stuff with GM from back in the day. They have developed a whole rear axle that is a direct bolt-in for heavy-duty trucks.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can do this, you can convert your older trucks and to an electric platform.
Yep. And they're really trying to sell it right now to the big three as a... just easy, cheap way to, you know, electrify your fleet. You know, they don't even need to make a new chassis.
Yeah.
You know, put a battery pack where the engine was, put this in the back. There is a front axle as well, so you can still have your all-wheel drive or your four-wheel drive.
Awesome.
Yeah, and combined, these are little motors. I mean, you can look at these pictures of the cutaway. That is a little motor. It's probably around, I don't know, like 1 foot around? Maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, so it's not really much bigger than your current pumpkin.
Yeah, it's really
not. In the back. That's really cool. So the biggest issue is just where are you going to put the batteries?
Right. Yeah, at that point, and if you don't have a freaking engine.
Right, you got all that room.
You got all that room.
Yeah.
So we're looking at easy electrification, and they haven't said anything about range so far. You know, that is the biggest thing with your towing with a heavy duty, is you need that range.
Right.
Because especially if you're a contractor or something, you know, you need to be able to get to the job site and back and haul stuff. And
in our context, we need to be able to tow to PPIR.
Right.
Use the electronics on the truck to run tools.
Yeah, right.
And then tow it back.
And I'd like to be able to tow it to, I don't know, Austin or something, you know?
Yeah.
Hit up a race at the Circuit of the Americas or something like that.
Yeah, without having to stop and recharge, like, every time you eat.
Right. And sit there for 2 hours every time you, have to recharge.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting on that, but the fact is this is specifically meant for heavy duty, so they have to have that in mind. And quite frankly, if you're going to buy a heavy duty, especially GM pickup truck, like I much rather have electric drivetrain than the current drivetrain in the heavy duty trucks.
Yeah.
Those things are garbage, dude.
What I want to see is I see that they're trying to sell this on a corporate level to the big three, but I want to see this like an EV West kit.
Yes.
Where we can order it and put it in our trucks. Like if I can put this in my old beat up Ford,
right?
I would love that.
Yeah.
Even if it was just 80 miles of range initially, and I could just use it to get to work or, you know, haul some tires around. Mm-hmm. That would be excellent.
See, the thing that got me excited about it is this is a heavy-duty platform. I've had that idea of converting the freaking box truck, the U-Haul truck,
right,
to electric.
Yeah.
And converting it to a, you know, the camper. But also, I think running it on electric would be freaking awesome.
Yeah, it would.
And you could... It's a U-Haul truck. You could put a giant solar panel up top
to
help charge where you're sitting at the track.
And they're getting more and more efficient every year.
Yeah.
So it could get to the point where it actually helped. And you were mentioning the Rivian and its loss with towing. I can't remember who did the test, but they did a Rivian tow test here in Colorado. They towed up to Silverthorne, and when they were going down the mountain, they actually gained 2 bars of battery in regenerative braking.
No, I believe it.
Like, he just didn't touch the brake pedal going the whole way down the grade.
Oh, yeah, because you come down off the tunnel. That shit's steep for a long time.
Yeah, and it actually, you know, it was only from 17% to 19%.
Hey, but that's something.
And that's a long section of the drive where you gain power instead of losing it.
Right.
And I really like the idea of the Rivian. I mean, it's a little bigger than a Tacoma, and it can tow as much as an F-250.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to beat that.
I mean, if you have like 90 G's to spend.
Yeah, if only you have the 90 G's to spend, and then, you know, the time, because it's the first model to come out, it's going to have bugs.
Going to have issues.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, too, with the heavy-duty pickups. I mean, this GMC, like the 2500, I bet you if you got that fully loaded, that's a freaking $90,000 truck anyways.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so this is actually a pretty good market because they're going to spend that money anyways.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you could make some money buying used trucks and converting them to electric like this.
Yeah, probably. But like you said, like I'm excited for definitely the swappability of this. I mean, it's a solid axle. You wanted to do some old like 70s muscle car, like an old, well, actually G-bodies are kind of getting expensive now. That was 80s, but
yeah,
you know, some shitty muscle car.
Yeah, right now stuff from the early 2000s is what's cheap, which is crazy. The 90s is all appreciating.
But anything with an old solid rear axle, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be so easy to do.
Yeah. And like I said, it wouldn't be any less reliable than my Ford is right now.
Right? It'd probably be more. Honestly, electric's pretty simple. There's three big components. That's all you got.
And that's
your battery, inverter, and motor. Pretty easy.
That does sound really refreshingly simple.
I almost have have my boss convinced to buy us electric RC cars at work, so that way we can learn electric cars.
Yeah, because you said you guys were doing the RC training, right? Or the electric training.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ken's going, my shop foreman. He's going to be doing some training electric, and then I'm going to be doing some training here in a couple months. And I'm excited because, you know, whether you like it or not, electric cars are here and they're going to be here.
Yeah.
Whether we can agree, like, I don't really agree that they're what's going to save us from global warming.
Right.
But they're here. So right.
They're the solution that everyone else agreed on.
Yeah. So I might as well make some money fixing them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, have some fun with them in the meantime.
Right. I don't know. I like the idea of electric swaps in a lot of things. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
As long as the drivetrain isn't the reason the car is cool.
Right.
There's so many things where it's like that body is cool. The drivetrain maybe kind of sucks.
Yeah. Like what you were talking about with your Pulsar swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Nissan Pulsar. It's a 1.5 liter carbureted engine, puts out 80 horsepower. Nobody wants that engine in there.
Right. It's the perfect candidate for an electric motor.
Yeah. Nissan Leaf drivetrain. You're gaining 140 foot-pounds of torque and efficiency.
Yeah. You've got something fun.
Right. So I still want a Nissan Pulsar. Those are going up in price too. Those bastards. I hate this market.
Yeah, the market is crazy right now. It's a real shame what it's doing. And I was hoping for the yo-yo effect. I think we said this last podcast, but I think that they are going to taper the production of chips and cars, and we're not going to see the market just rebound, you know, right, like it did in a lot of ways after COVID. We're just going to see it kind of subtly rest back into hopefully a place that's where it was and not above where it was.
Right. Well, that chip shortage is still a thing. So two stories about that before we move on to politics, because we might as well just pad this out as much as we can. So my dad was telling me a story, and he couldn't tell me exactly the exact details. He's not as much of a car guy as me, but his coworker sold his like three-year-old or traded in his three-year-old pickup and pretty much did a straight swap trade for a brand new truck. But the deal is there's two modules in that pickup truck that aren't installed right now because they don't have the chips for them.
So he just has to wait for it to be completed.
Yeah, and whenever they get the modules in, he'll take it back in, they'll install those modules.
So they obviously aren't essential.
Apparently. That's what I was I was like, what modules are they?
Like, do you really need them? Like,
right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he like doesn't have a radio right now. That would suck. I mean, you get a brand new truck for basically free, but
yeah. I mean, is it a diesel? Is it just like a def delete? Because then it's like, don't put that in my car.
Yeah, actually, I don't want that anyways. Yeah, that's true too. Like, well, I guess even in Colorado, you don't need emissions for the first 7 years, but like, I wonder if it wouldn't pass emissions because of the missing modules.
Yeah, you'd have to get a letter from GM.
Right? No, but they couldn't do that because that would violate EPA regulations.
That's true. So after 7 years, it would just have to be registered in Kansas.
Right? God, what a fucking mess.
Yeah.
This whole thing is. I mean, the second thing I was going to say is like, I've been trying to work on a project using the Raspberry Pi Zeros, these little tiny microcontrollers.
Yeah.
You can't find these. They're nowhere. And if you do find them on eBay, they're going for like $50. They're supposed to be $5.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's a markup.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. Chip shortage still. Just nobody's making them.
And you know, it's affecting everywhere. At Hyundai, where I'm a warranty clerk now, they are RDRing cars. They're demoing them for customers before they do the PDI.
Really?
So then the PDI can't be digitally submitted because they don't get new allocation until the RDRs are completed. So they want to demo these cars sometimes before they've even gotten them. They're like digitally filing these demos so that they can increase their allocation.
Oh, I got you.
Because cars are like gold right now.
Right.
And it's creating just this just backed up thing for PDIs, for demos. Like right now, there's like $12,000 of outstanding PDIs right now, and they only pay $120 a piece.
Right. So yeah, do that math.
Yeah. It's 103.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course, because, you know, I'm sure your dealership isn't the only dealership doing that shit.
Right. Everybody's doing it.
It's just backlogging everything.
Yeah.
God. Cars are a weird mess right now.
Right, and technically an unfiled PDI voids the warranty forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be interesting.
Technically, Hyundai could choose not to honor a warranty because the PDI wasn't filed.
Ooh, we might see some fucking stories here in the future.
Right? Yeah, and they're cracking down on warranty, too. I actually got, my dealership got audited this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Hyundai's coming up with every possible reason to reject warranty, like not timestamp not being correct, signature not in the right place. They're behaving like the IRS.
I mean, they're trying to save money wherever they can with all these freaking engine recalls.
Yeah, yeah, they're losing their ass on these engine recalls.
Yeah. Have you seen any, like, Veloster Ns or, like, Like, what's the main, like, engine you're seeing? I'm sure it's probably, like, a Santa Fe.
Yeah, it's mostly Santa Fes and Tucsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because that's what they sell the most of.
That's what they sell the most, and they're just blowing up and catching on fire.
Yeah, because we talked about before, I'm just curious if all the N performance brand stuff is getting affected by this shit, too.
So the newer N stuff, I think it's like the new Elantra N and Kona N, I think it just hasn't been out long enough to start failing.
Yeah.
You know, and not to speak with no faith in it, but I think that it's probably going to start failing as well.
Yeah.
Because like we've covered before, they've stopped doing R&D on new engines.
Right. They're just like, you know what? We fucked up. Like, we're just done with this.
Yeah. Yeah. So they don't have faith in their own ability to get these things put together.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like I said before, it kind of makes sense though. Like after that whole thing, you're just like, you know what? This isn't even worth it. Like,
right?
Everything's going electric. Screw this. We're done.
All right. We'll do this and we'll spin it like we're progressive.
Yeah. There you go. That's how corporations do.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, all right. We got to talk about politics anyways. I'll just throw this in here real quick.
Yeah.
King Soopers, or Kroger, as everybody else knows them.
Yeah.
You know, employees went on strike to get better wages and better treatment because they're getting treated like shit. And they won, of course.
Here in Denver.
Thank God.
Yeah.
So, yay for labor. But I saw a television ad for King Soopers. And they were touting about how awesome King Soopers is because we pay our employees a livable wage and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, you mean the shit they had to work for and protest
The thing you sued them over?
Yeah.
Now you're taking credit for it.
Yeah, now they're taking credit for it. Fucking corporations. All right. So we're already talking about politics. So let's talk about Russia.
Let's talk about Russia invading the Ukraine.
Yes. It is February 27th as we're recording this. So it's been a few days since the... whole Russia invading Ukraine thing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that is affecting the car world as well. You know, we can go on for a long time about the just tragedy that this is and all that kind of stuff, but we're not going to go into that quite yet. We'll see in another 2 weeks how things are going.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about the shit that is affecting it in the car world. And the big one is Formula One canceling its 2022 Russian Grand Prix in Sochi. They pretty much had to do this.
They had to. I mean,
like,
they're being boycotted by basically every country in the West.
Right.
And they couldn't go forth with this.
No, and I mean, I'm on their side. Like, I'm actually, because I was actually talking with Chris Heil, who, you know, I go over to his place and do the F1 parties, which you need to come to one of these times.
Yeah, I need to get over there.
They're early though on a Sunday, so
I can set an alarm.
But I was talking to him like, you know, I might not renew my F1 TV subscription if they go through with the race in Russia. Like, it's not much, you know, but hey, it's something
that I can do. Showing your support.
Right. So luckily this, like that same day, the Formula One came out like, nope, we're not doing this. There was only one driver who said it's fine to keep driving in the Russian Grand Prix.
Was he Russian?
Yes. Nikita Mazepin.
Well, you know,
whose dad is buddies with Putin.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, even if he didn't agree with Putin, it's probably not wise for him in Russia to speak ill of Putin.
Right, exactly.
You know, he might get poisoned and then Putin not take the blame for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor, he's on Team Haas, which poor Team Haas, because the reason Mazepin is on their team is because his dad paid them a bunch of money so that way they could have a team.
Okay.
You know, it was pretty much a deal like, hey, I'll give you a bunch of money and support Haas Racing.
Right.
But my kid's got a race.
Yeah.
Which happens so goddamn much in the upper echelons of racing.
Well, I mean, it's Formula One. It's billions of dollars.
Right.
You know, so the only way it can exist is with agreements like that.
It's true. It's just, it's kind of sad because I know there's drivers out there that are more deserving.
Yeah.
I mean, Mazepin's nickname is Mazespin.
Oh, really?
He's not as bad as he used to be, but like his first like three races last year, he spun out each time.
I mean, honestly, my first time in a Formula One car, if I got around the track with all the fenders and body panels attached, I'd be happy.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, Nikita is a racer. Like, it's not just like some random kid that told his dad, hey, I want to race F1. They put him in there. Like, he made it up the ranks and stuff like that. But he's not the best, you know? The point is, good on F1 for canceling that race, and yeah, I wonder what they're going to do, because this is going to leave a spot open as well, you know, I wonder where they're going to race instead.
That'd be interesting. Maybe they'll run on one of the tracks they've run on, but again, maybe go in the other direction, something like that.
Is there a track in the Ukraine It's up to FIA standards.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, FIA standards are really high right
now. Yeah, but that would be an awesome thing of protest.
Yeah,
we're canceling the Russian GP. We're going to race in the fucking Ukraine.
Like, if this territory is unoccupied,
right? Yeah,
then we will race here.
Yeah, that's probably a dangerous idea anyways, because that's where Putin fucking starts bombing an F1 race or something.
He probably would, because it's a scheduled event, and he knew it would be a population center.
Right. Yeah, that man seems to have gone off the deep end, and I'm glad that pretty much everybody is in agreement that, like, no, this is wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have some of the stories coming out of Ukraine of just, you know, like, the government's just telling people to make Molotov cocktails.
Right.
To hold people off. That one island, there were 8 Ukrainian sailors, they just told the Russian Navy to fuck off.
Yeah, that was so great. The ghost of Kiev,
the
jet fighter pilot, has taken down like 6 or 7.
Yeah, in a MiG, and he's taken down more advanced Russian fighters.
Yeah.
He's the first ace over Europe since World War II.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we're getting these freaking stories.
Yeah.
And what's also crazy, and I can actually bring this back to like car-related stuff, is some of the shit that we're seeing Russia come through these armored vehicles that they're bringing over. Not all of them are like armored vehicles. Some of them are, hold on. So, I mean, this is a 4chan post, but that I had to repost, but like, what is this little freaking van? This is clearly from the invasion. It's got the Z written on it, like all the freaking vehicles do over there.
Yeah. And it is a medic van. It's got the cross. So maybe they're just thinking nobody will target it.
I guess, but this is like whatever the Lada, shitty Lada version of a Volkswagen bus is, this is it. But this, my buddy sent me this. This was the best one by far. I don't know what's going on in this picture, but it was from a live stream in the Ukraine, and it is a smart car with a Z painted on it.
That is hilarious.
And I can only imagine the troops riding in, 2 of them.
Right.
Only 2 of them.
Only 2 of them.
In a smart car.
I mean, yeah, how safe would you feel riding into a war zone? Because the Z means you can be targeted like a military vehicle.
Right.
So somebody could just shoot you with a Stinger missile.
It's a fucking... I mean, you did... Have you seen that old video from... I think it was Final Gear, Fifth Gear, whatever the fucking not Top Gear UK thing was, where they crashed a smart car into a wall at like 100 miles an hour?
No, what happened?
It was actually pretty much fine.
Really?
Yeah. So this big silver thing around the outside of the smart car.
Yeah.
That's actually your crash structure.
So that whole thing is the frame that won't crumple.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it survived really well. Like the door still opened.
Wow.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen with cars that have good crash test safety rating.
Right. This was like head onto a wall at 100 miles an hour. It was ridiculous.
That's impressive.
Maybe. Yeah. The smart car is a secret weapon. The only thing that'll survive landmines.
It's too light to set them off.
And then I like this picture too of this lady in her pink scooter riding by the tank. Like, what is even happening in this fucking war?
Yeah, I mean, it was just people living their lives, and then tanks rolled in, and they refused to stop living their lives. You have to have respect for that.
I have mad respect for the Ukrainians at this point. It's ridiculous.
Did you see the Miss Ukraine, like the beauty queen? She just showed her with a picture. She had an AR-15 all pimped out. She was wearing body armor.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so everybody's picking up guns and going to the fight.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that America would do the same.
Yeah, I mean, if Canada rolled in.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, one of my buddies on here posted, like, this is why we have ARs and stuff like that. I'm thinking to myself, like I don't know if Mexico or Canada are really going to, you know, roll in at any moment here,
right.
But I see your point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the closest allegory we've got.
Right? But yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine the things that are going on over there, and I hope the best for the Ukrainians, and I hope the worst for the Russian government.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Russians, I hope the best for them.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, most of these troops are conscripted anyways.
Yeah, they're victims of their own government, just like the Ukrainians are.
Right. So, it's a shit situation, and as far as I can tell right now, hopefully it doesn't... This is very selfish of me, but hopefully this doesn't start affecting us as well, like... I've seen memes about that. Like, bro, the race season's just starting. Can you calm the fuck down?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're saying this is going to spike fuel prices globally.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. I was thinking about that because it's true that Europe gets a good chunk of their oil from Russia.
Yeah.
But the U.S. doesn't. We get mostly Saudi and Canadian and our own domestic.
Yeah, but Biden did warn about it, so I don't know if it's going to be a price adjustment or if we're going to send strategic oil reserves to Europe in support.
Yeah, I mean, there's that too. I mean, if Europe gets cut off, then their demand spikes, so it spikes demand across the board, really.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Gas prices are still, they haven't been affected yet. I just was, like, I've been paying attention when I've been driving, and they're still about 3.19 to 3, actually, there's one gas station on upper or North Wadsworth here that's like 3.60.
Interesting.
I'm like, you guys are a little ahead of the curve there. Yeah. Like, everybody else is still 3.20-ish.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe they're just trying to make some more money while they've still got fuel.
Right. So, but this is why I drive a Fiesta, 35 miles of the gallon.
Yeah, my F-150 does not get that.
Yeah. And this is why we need electric pickups, because then, yeah.
Yeah, because they're what guzzle the most gas.
Yeah. And see, this is, and converting those to electric will save us gas money for our race cars.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd rather burn it on the track.
Right, it makes sense. All right, well, let's try to lighten this up a little bit.
Okay, because, yeah, we just went down a pretty dark rabbit hole there.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk about it too much. Like, I don't want that, like, it's a tragedy, but I want to, you know, this is entertainment. Let's try to keep it entertainment. So we have another auction watch.
Auction watch.
Yes. Maybe this time I'll actually get the sound effects done.
The sound effect with the gavel?
Yeah. I have to give that to our new audio man. Which, yeah, I'll talk about that in a little bit, too. This popped up on one of the Radwood pages, 1988 Subaru GL10 turbo four-wheel drive wagon, which is an awesome little bit of 80s, like, 80s-ness in general. It currently has an hour and 20 minutes left on it, and it's almost $9,000.
Man, somebody really wants this thing.
Right? I thought these things, you used to be able to get these for, like, nothing. People just gave these away.
I'm pretty sure I looked at one of these for $800 on Craigslist like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't in this kind of shape, and it wasn't a turbo.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. This one is like the gemmiest gem of a GL10 wagon. I'd say this is the second coolest GL wagon.
What would you say the coolest is?
Pastrana's new car.
Travis Pastrana's in a
We talked GL about wagon? That, didn't we?
I don't know if we talked
Did
about
we
that.
Did we not talk about Travis Pastrana's GL wagon? Yeah, so his next Gymkhana car is a GL wagon.
Oh, you mean Ken Block?
No. No, Ken Block's not doing them anymore. It's okay. Pastrana's doing them now. He did the last one.
That's cool.
Well, I guess maybe they're both doing them, because I guess Ken's doing his electric one with the Audi.
Right, okay. So now Travis Pastrana's doing the Subaru stuff. That thing is gorgeous.
Right? And it still has a roof rack.
It still has a roof rack.
That's amazing.
Just to have one, too.
So this GL that, you know, it'll be sold by the time we're done with this podcast, but this is the second coolest one.
Yeah, that's definitely the coolest one.
Yeah, I mean, when this debuted, I made a joke. I was like, I'm willing to bet that is the coolest Subaru GL in the world.
Man, that is pretty.
Right? And yeah, 80s, you know, boxiness with the big old flares. It's so perfect.
I hope they do put some funky stuff on the roof rack for the Gymkhana video.
Oh, I almost guarantee they will.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have, like, you know, a blow-up doll on skis strapped to
exactly.
it or something.
Sitting
like,
in a recliner.
Yeah, what are you even doing?
Right. Yeah.
While you jump of something. Yeah. This is what happens when the Jackass generation grows up and gets money for cars.
You know, it's hilarious that they're still making Jackass movies.
I can't believe they're doing that.
Yeah. Johnny Knoxville tried to recreate one of his stunts from the first one in this latest one. And he ended up in the hospital.
A shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the
I mean,
man's like 60.
You got to praise the dedication, though.
Right?
Like, he got gored by a bull again.
Again.
Again. Yeah. And this time he didn't get up.
That poor man.
I know.
Those poor guys, that's the only way they can make money now. Like, that's, they niched themselves into pain.
That's a painful niche.
Yeah. I wouldn't want that. I'd rather be, rather be doing this shit with, like, driving Subaru GLs. Either the Hoonigan one or this old one, honestly. Like,
I mean, that thing really is pristine for its age.
Right?
Now, were these full-time four-wheel drive, or were these...
We were...
Because I think I remember looking at a different GL wagon that you had to actually switch it into four-wheel drive. Wow, he took a picture of the cigarette lighter.
The completely never-used cigarette lighter.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, that just shows you what kind of car this is. Like, look, the dash isn't even cracked. It's an 80s Japanese car without a cracked dash.
No, without a cracked dash. The interior's in perfect shape.
Right? Factory radio. Like, what? Who? Like, why is this like this? It still has a sticker on the door.
Wow.
From the factory.
So do you think somebody loved this car so much and just it wasn't their main car and they garage kept it? Or do you think this belonged to someone, like an old lady who basically never had to drive? Oh, I forgot about the spare in the engine bay.
Oh, yeah. Yep, the underhood spare. Yep, that's how you know it's an 80s, 80s Subaru. I don't know. How many miles were on this again? I should say on here. 44,000
miles. 44,000
miles
on an 88.
So that makes me think it was just somebody. I think this is in Washington. I think this was some sort of semi-wealthy person who had a place in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
Or somewhere where it snowed and had inclement weather.
Yeah.
Second house.
This was the car at their vacation home.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That would make sense.
That's my guess.
That'd be nice if in 20 years I can sell the car that was parked at my vacation home.
Right. I mean, what did an 88 Subaru GL10 cost new?
I say in 1988, probably like, what, like $12,000?
15, almost 16,000.
Wow.
For the fully loaded. That's actually kind of expensive for 88.
Yeah.
Especially for a Subaru.
But that was the turbo with all the bells and whistles on
it. Right. That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It still lost half its value. So, if you did this as an investment, maybe not the greatest idea.
Yeah. And money's worth a hell of a lot less now.
Right. True. Now, here's a question. If I were to buy this, I mean, it's an automatic, so it'd just be a cruiser. If I were to buy this thing, would I swap out the wheels? Or would I keep it just like this? Actually, would I even drive it?
Yeah, now that's the question. Would you drive it?
Right.
I say swap the wheels, but definitely keep these wheels.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep these stock wheels, keep them pristine. No curb rash, no salt stains or anything.
Right.
And then put a better looking set of wheels to cruise around in.
There you go. I like that idea. I really want some sort of, I need a cruiser.
Just something to have fun in. What happened to that 5 Series?
I didn't have a space, time, or money for it.
Well, hey, I've been there.
Right?
I live there.
Because, like, the car was cheap. I could have got the car for, like, $300, but then I would have put another, like, $1,500 into it.
Gotcha.
So I was like, and I don't have the time to do the shit because it was, like, rebuilding a steering rack and stuff. Not things that were just going to be quick and easy.
Yeah.
So I passed on the offer, but there's always other offers.
There will always be more.
Yep. I mean, maybe I shouldn't have because, goddamn, that with the market the way it is. Fuck, I probably could have sold that. I probably could just turn around and sold that as is for like $4,000.
Yeah, just waited. I mean, if you had the space to part out an old 5 Series,
right?
You probably could have made 10 in probably. Parts.
Ugh. I just need more time. I need to not have a day job.
I just need to... Yeah, that's it. That's the secret.
Yeah, don't have a day job.
Don't have a day job and have enough land to just let things rust.
Right, and enough money to just... Like, you know, you need that startup fund.
Right. Right. You need the startup fund. And then maybe the cash infusion because it's like, well, I bought too many cars with the startup fund.
Right. All right. Let's move on from talking about cars we'll never own to cars we do own and things we're going to be doing with them.
Oh, yeah.
So this is also kind of a PSA for anybody else running grid life. No matter what class you're in, you need a tow hook now.
Okay.
So that was... They always said in the rule book that you need a tow hook, but they didn't really check.
Now they're going to check.
They're going to check now. That's a problem for like me in the Fiesta because Ford, the wonderful people they are, put no tow hook, even mounting locations on this fucking car.
Do you have those threaded little eyelet tabs though?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't even have that. European Fiestas had that.
The American ones don't.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're under your bumper though.
They're not.
So there's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Luckily, there is a company out there that makes a kit.
Okay.
That I can add on. It's like a big bracket that bolts on that has the threaded part.
Nice.
And then it actually goes through the grill, like, because I got that honeycomb grill.
Oh, that's going to actually look pretty cool then.
Right? Yeah, it's a nice solution for a problem that shouldn't exist. but yeah, so if you're in also any other modern car, you need a tow hook point. Actually, they were saying even if your car has like the factory like tie down points on the front of like the subframe,
yeah,
they're not going to use that.
That's not good. So you need the actual protruding tow hook.
Yep.
Now, I wonder if this means they're going to be more strict when they check you. And maybe say something about a back seat like they did last year.
Maybe. I'm probably going to just keep the back seat in it from now on.
Okay.
It is pretty significant weight difference. It's over 100 pounds.
Wow.
Because that seat back is freaking... Well, maybe it's not quite 100. Probably around 80-ish. I don't know. I'd have to weigh it to be exact. But
in a car that light, that's not insignificant.
Right? Because, yeah, the seat back has the center seat belt. Whole assembly is built into that.
Oh, so you're pulling all of that out,
yeah,
when you pull the back seat.
Yeah, so that has some weight to it.
Yeah.
But no, I figured this year I'm going to try running with the back seat in it, and I'm just going to see if it really makes that big of a difference.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll have some more power, but I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, so you're running Grid Life, that even Club TR like I do, or Street, or you know, Spec Fit, get yourself a tow hook. There should be a kit out there for pretty much any car. And if not, I guess you're going to learn how to fabricate.
Yeah, you're going to have to make something.
So speaking of racing, of course, we are doing Grid Life. That's why I brought that up. But the for all my Colorado peeps, the PPIR Track Attack series finally posted all of their dates. You can, I don't like how much PPIR does through Facebook. Like, this is kind of main reason I still have Facebook.
Just to follow your track time.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Because they do a lot of stuff on there. But you can find their post. I'll have it linked in the show notes, so you can find that. They are doing 8 events over the 2022 season, including their overnight event on July 9th and 10th. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, you race, you camp, you party, and then you race.
Nice, just like Grid Life.
Right, always fun. Unfortunately, they also are doing the day before Pikes Peak again, which is the June 25th.
Okay.
So that might be a problem if we end up camping on the mountain, because we have to be up there on the 25th.
Okay. So yeah, and now Hamza, you and Hamza both competed in Track Attack right before Pikes Peak last year, right?
Last year, yeah. Because then we just went to the race on the 26th in the morning.
Right.
But if you're camping, you got to be up there early on the 25th, and then you ain't leaving.
Yeah, you're not leaving until the event's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might miss that event. I'm sad they always do that. But yeah, I would love to see anybody that's listening to this. If you don't come down, or you haven't been racing before and you want a way to get into racing, I should say, you should come down and do the Track Attack series. They have a class for literally everybody now. And if you don't want to be in a class and you just want to show up and race and don't have to worry about competing, they even have a class for that, where you just don't even get points. You just show up and make runs.
And it's fun. You meet a lot of really cool people. You learn a lot. I mean, it's a good way to spend, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon.
Right. Or a Saturday. There.
Sorry. All right. No, I'm good.
I didn't get you today.
Okay, good. Sorry, I'm not used to somebody sitting there yet.
You're like, oh, shit. Yeah, they're actually going to be swapping from Sunday and Saturday events.
Okay. All right. So every other event will be a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah. Which I like. They started doing that last year. I like that because sometimes you got stuff you want to do on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, if you haven't been, come on down. You know, we're all friendly down there. We don't bite. There's only been a couple people I've met that actually take this shit that seriously. So, and those guys don't come there anymore because nobody liked them. So we just kind of shunned them. And I always like Track Attack because I like it better than SCCA Autocross, because it feels like you're on an actual racetrack. You have a little more speed.
And it's more accessible. Like, you don't have to buy a membership.
That too. We always talked about. Like, you can just show up and race. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, you can roll out of bed. You can buy your tickets online. You could buy your tickets at the gate.
Right.
As long as you're there for tech inspection, or there for the meet, because tech inspection is kind of self-done.
Yeah.
You get to show up and race.
Right. Yeah, don't advertise the self-imposed safety inspection or the tech inspection so much, just because, like, you could totally cheat around that. But if you ruin the race for everybody else, you will hear about it.
That is on you.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try to make it to pretty much everyone except probably the June 25th event. So, you know, You'll see me there in the orange Fiesta. There's a lot of shakeups going on in the class, so I'm really hoping I can get a top three this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that Cobalt's finally off the
right,
off
yeah.
that class.
Yeah, he's racing with the big boys now, so which is amazing because he it's a Cobalt SS and he was getting top 10 time of the day like a couple times last year
in every class. Yeah,
he gets like GTRs and Corvettes and shit. Like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
And now he's in GT. He got a Camaro.
No, he's still in the Cobalt.
Really? He just moved up.
He just moved up class.
Wow.
But I think he's running slicks now too.
Okay.
So full on Hoosiers now.
Okay.
So he's going to be even faster. Ridiculous. Steven, you're a beast. Another event we're going to be doing this year, hopefully anyways, as long as I can get Iggy actually done, is the Gambler 500. Last week, we talked about the Rambler 500. That's a separate event.
Separate event.
Yes. This is the Gambler 500. These are different guys running. The Gambler was the original one that started in Washington. The Rambler is just a local Colorado event with a bunch of guys from the Springs.
Gotcha. Okay.
But, yep, Gambler 500, August 13th through the 14th of this year. They're going to be down in by the Colorado Gator Farm, which I think is by Pueblo?
I've driven past the Gator Farm, and I can't remember where it is.
I think it's by Pueblo.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I guess that's part of where they're starting. So I guess bring your shit cars and go pet some gators or something. Like, I don't know. This should be a fun event.
Sounds like a fun evening.
Right? And I'm just really curious what the route is going to be.
There was the map right there.
Yeah, well, they don't have the it's a map, but they don't have the route on it yet.
Oh, that's funny. It just says Gambler 500 on the map.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. I'm really curious how Iggy will do through mountain roads. I'm going to have to jack up the suspension for sure.
Yeah.
But I do have some things saved on the computer about how I might switch up. I'll show you later. How I might switch up the suspension and the wheels and tires to do some off-roading.
Okay, that would be fun. And I'll still be able to take it on the tarmac.
Right.
Or is this all dirt?
I think this is pretty much all off-road trails.
Okay.
But I would still be able to road drive it. These are DOT legal tires.
Okay.
They're meant for a golf cart, but they're DOT legal and they're off-road tires.
So hey, then it works.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work exactly, but speaking of Iggy and racing and the Fiesta, I do have some updates. Iggy is getting work done right now, getting some work done to that. There are 4 seats in it now.
Nice.
So Lemons Rally in 2 months. Yep. I need to get with you about the exact dates.
Okay. Yeah, we need to get that. We need to get together about that. That thing's going to be so much fun.
Right.
And those fender meta mirrors look great.
Yes. They are also... I see now why the Japanese went away from fender-mounted mirrors.
Because you can't adjust them?
Well, you can't adjust them, and also it's just kind of hard to see. Like, it's a small mirror, and it's a long ways away from you, so you're like, it's really hard to judge distance.
But they look so good.
They look so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, spoiler, 91 Corolla with fender-mounted mirrors. Because why not?
Yeah.
If we're going to do this, let's... Do it crazy.
And you're still planning on running the oil pressure gauge up through the hood, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's still there. I got that's going to be a 3D printing project for me because I'm making the hood for it.
Nice.
Like an aerodynamic hood, basically, to go over top of it. So that's going to be interesting. My first little foray into 3D modeling. See how that works out.
Yeah.
Hopefully this stuff will actually like make posts about and videos about. But, you know, we were talking about this earlier. It's so hard to like do work on cars and record it and then edit it. And like, you're just like, this is a pain in the ass. I just want to work on the car. But luckily we have a secret weapon.
We do.
but I'll talk about that in a second. I want to finish the update. We got to stay on track.
We never stay on track.
Yeah, this is true. I'm trying. Okay. I'm trying my best.
Hey, I mean, I'm guilty, man. We just ramble.
Right. It's very true. Which is why we should go to the Rambler.
Yeah.
Rambler 500. See this? It was like meant for us.
It all fits.
Right? I just keep getting that Johnny Cash song stuck in my head.
Oh, really?
I can't remember. What the fuck is the name of that song? I can't remember.
Jay played a Johnny Cash song on Friday.
No, did he?
Yeah.
Man, that guy really does play everything, doesn't he?
That band plays everything.
Right? I guess they're a cover band. That's what they do. But
yeah.
Still, that's a lot of different genres.
He's got range.
Yeah. So yeah, Iggy is getting worked on and getting ready for that race. I did order parts for Jelly Bean too. So I have a couple fenders now.
Nice.
Just junkyard fenders. So I can cut those up and put flares on them, because I do still plan on running the 245s in the front.
Nice.
Which is way more tire than anybody's ever run on a Fiesta. Most people are running 225s at most.
And you're still going to be within regulation for grid life and track attack.
Yep.
Awesome.
Grid life is 255 for club TR is your max width.
Okay.
For anything. So like Ben, he's running 255 35 17s on the Civic.
Yeah.
So he'll have a little bit more tire than me. And also I'm only running the 245s in the front.
Yeah, but his car is completely prepped.
Yeah. But I will be able to make a lot more power than him too. Because once I get the intercooler and the tune on the Fiesta, that's going to be making a lot more power than his K-swapped.
Yeah, because this is NA, right?
Yeah. Yes. It has to be. It has to be a completely stock, unopened engine. You can't do anything in the internals in Club TR.
Okay.
So that'll be my benefit. He might get me in the corners, but I'll get him in the straights, which is such a weird thing to say with a Fiesta ST. But yeah, I'm going to be running reverse stagger setup, 245s in the front, 225s in the rear.
So you might get a little liftoff oversteer.
Yeah. I'm actually got a factory or a base model Fiesta front sway bar now.
Oh.
Because how Ford, I think I've talked about this on the show, how Ford made the Fiesta ST oversteer more is they put a smaller front sway bar in it than the base model.
Okay, so that your rear comes around.
Yeah, so it just changes the bias.
Right, but you're going to tighten up your front end.
Yeah.
By using that.
That is one of the biggest problems with the Fiesta is because of that, the front end rolls so much. If you follow us, I've posted pictures on of the inside rear wheel of the Fiesta, like a foot in the air.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So hopefully I'll mitigate that a little bit with the front sway bar and make it, if I'm putting skinnier tires on the rear, it's already going to be more prone to oversteer.
Yeah, you don't need to make it even more
tail-happy. So time to bring some more stiffness to the front. And the replacement dampers for those BCs I bought are on the way too.
Nice. So, and so you're still going to run the extreme lows.
So here's the weird thing. When I went to BC's website and ordered replacement dampers, they didn't ask if it was the extreme low editions or not.
So it must just be the brackets in a different place on the lows, and that's it.
See, but the extreme lows were supposed to be a shorter damper. That's why they go lower. So that way, when you slam it, your shorter damper isn't bottoming out like a longer damper would.
Yeah.
So maybe I just get the longer dampers that I wanted anyways from these guys.
Yeah, just for the regular BCBRs.
Right.
Yeah.
So, hey, that's cool with me, honestly. That means the fronts will still be shorter, which kind of sucks, but I'll make it work.
Yeah.
For the total of like $400 I'm going to have into these coilovers.
Dude, you got such a good deal on those.
Yeah, well, it did. I had to work for them too. I had to uninstall them and install other coilovers on this kid's car. So, there was some labor trade-off.
Yeah, because you had to do an alignment and everything.
Yeah. But hey, it worked out. And I'm going to have, so the coilovers, the wheels and tires, and hopefully some more power. I don't know. This car is going to be transformed here soon.
Dude, that's going to be exciting. It's going to be cool to see its difference from last year to this year running Club TR. I don't have any updates on my cars. my 240 is still under construction for the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't made any progress.
No, not much. I think I've flushed the coolant.
Hey, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to just pull that radiator out and put in the Mishimoto.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, this month's just been weird trying to get shit done. Been weirdly slow and...
And Arctic cold.
Very, very fucking cold.
Yeah.
You see Colorado actually, we beat another temperature record, but in the opposite direction this time.
Wow.
Yeah, like so, Denver hit a record low.
So we've hit a record high and a record low in the same year.
Yeah. Weather. Crazy. Wow. Yeah. But climate change isn't real and things are just normal and, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, the earth is flat.
Yes. Man, wouldn't it just be nice to just think that? Just think everything's fine?
Yeah. It's a really comforting idea.
Right? Ignorance is indeed bliss. Hey, we did it. We got through all our talking points.
And we did it in a timely manner.
Yeah. Mostly timely. And we didn't talk about politics that much.
Well, we built it into the podcast this time.
This is true.
So we didn't just have to deviate.
This is very true.
Yeah, it was a segment. Maybe that's just it. We need a politics of speed segment.
We seems like we really do.
Yeah, because we're going to get there no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that wouldn't be a bad idea anyways when we talk about like, things like the SEMA network and what they're doing to help protect our hobby and stuff like that.
Follow our lobbyists. That's right. A great idea.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll look into that for the next episode.
I don't know what the sound effect for that would be.
I don't know. I don't even know if we're actually doing sound effects. It's almost more fun to say there's a sound effect coming and then just not do it.
Yeah, yeah. It was hilarious last episode.
Here's the sound effect. Just kidding. Fuck you.
Yeah.
What, you want editing? Well, luckily, though, if you do want editing, we have a new member of the Religion of Speed team, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, what's going on?
He's actually been sitting in the corner this whole time. So maybe we'll get him a mic eventually, too, so he can chime in on stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you liked the way the last podcast sounded, that's Aaron's doing. And hopefully, you know, he'll be providing some more support for us and make sure this sounds professional, is professional. We could be the talking heads, and he'll do the real work behind the scenes.
Yeah, making us sound good.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. But yeah, so welcome Aaron to the podcast and to the team, and hopefully we'll get some more stuff. You'll hear more from him in the future.
He's got more interesting things to say than I do half the time.
He has some interesting things to say. Maybe next episode we'll bring you on. We got to get that three microphone setup done, and you got all those Florida stories to tell. So, yeah. that's gonna do it, I guess, for us then. So we need to get this a little wrapped up. Of course, if you want to follow us on the social medias, religionofspeed.co on either Facebook or Instagram is how you do that. No, we are not on Snapchat. No, we are not on TikTok. Maybe we will be. I don't know. Is Snapchat still a thing, actually?
I think it is. And I mean, TikTok's quantity over quality.
This is true. That's like my MO. Yeah. quality, what?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. Like, I haven't heard about Snapchat stuff for a long time.
I think people still use it, but I've never been a big social media guy.
I'm pretty sure it's just a way to get women to send nudes.
Yeah, it's like, hey, these delete.
I'm pretty sure it's just, you know, you go from Tinder to Snapchat to a hookup. I'm pretty sure that's how that goes.
That's the progression these days?
I have no idea.
I'm an old man. I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't fucking know how that works anymore. Oh, thank God I'm taken.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, if you don't want to follow us on social media, you can just go to religionspeed.com and it's all there anyways. Including the show notes from this episode with links to all the stories we talked about. So that way you can look at all the pictures we were looking at, including that beautiful GL10 Subaru. And Chris, that just leaves one last thing.
We'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song, Colors. You can hear it on the album Traveler Part 1. You can find them at wheelstheband@bandcamp.com.
Beautiful. God, I just love how you have taken that over and got it so down.
Yeah, that's my thing now.
Yeah, hopefully I can actually get their intro down to memory like that eventually too.
Well, it keeps changing though, and it adapts to the times.
True, true. We got to keep it adapting because
right.
The times are always changing.
Yeah.
And the only thing that is consistent is us here. We're going to change, but we'll be here.
We'll be here.
Yeah, every other week, maybe every weekly. We still keep talking about doing it weekly.
We do. And I mean, we talk enough to do it weekly. Yeah. It's just a matter of finding time.
It's very true.
This is why we don't need day jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Follow us and give us support so that way we don't need day jobs.
Right. Then all we can do is talk to you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's not get on another ramble. Let's get off here. Chris, thank you again. Aaron, of course, thank you. And until next time, peace out, heretics.